Good evening, and welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church for our Christmas Eve service. We're glad you're all here can join us. We're also glad the temperatures are a little better than they were in the previous few weeks when we were meeting here. The first thing I'd like to do is say a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from your church staff to both you and to those whom you love. May the riches of God's peace and goodwill abide in all our hearts. And as we continually seek God's presence in the Rockwood and throughout the world. And I'd also like to say on behalf of Keith, Frank, Wanda, and myself, thank you for our Christmas gift. We greatly, greatly appreciate it and all that you've done for us. Thank you. Heavenly Father, on this sacred day, we welcome our Savior, Jesus Christ, into our hearts and our homes. As we gather with loved ones, may we also open our hearts to your presence. Fill our lives with your peace, your love, and your grace. Help us to remember that the greatest gift of all is your Son, who came to this earth to save us. May his light shine brightly in our lives and guide us always. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we'll stand, we'll sing hymn 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. At this time, we'll light our last Advent candle, the Christ or Christmas candle. of hymn number 211, O Come, O Come. Next, we'll have hymn 217, but by all means, if you wish, please be seated. Time for our tithes and offerings. Glorious God, as the shepherds rejoiced at the angel's news, we too bring our offerings with joy. Bless these gifts that they may spread your good news of great joy to all people. Use them to bring peace, justice, and hope to our community and beyond. In this season of Advent, may our giving reflect the light of Christ, and may we be your instruments of love and generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. The first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in any guest rooms. Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. And they said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth, peace among those he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. And everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory, and she considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Everything had happened just as they were told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, before we get to the scriptural portion of this message, it's something I'll be doing, I think, more regularly. Let's talk a bit about darkness and light in this world. I mean, after all, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus, who brought light into the world. You know, brothers and sisters, we made it through all the preparations, all the passions, and our presence with one another as we receive God's promise. We've made it. We've arrived at Christmas, the arrival of the light of the world, the light that brings joy to people living in great darkness. Now, does anybody identify with these people living in great darkness? On this birth of the Savior, does anyone feel like the people living in great darkness? Well, if your answer is yes, you're not alone. Of this, of all days, it's not the day to ignore the darkness, to pretend that all the hurts and the harms of our world don't exist. That's not the message of Christmas. No, if you feel like the people who live in great darkness, Christmas is especially for you. Because on this day, in the city of David, the light has come. The light who persists and who spreads in the darkness. The light who continues to thrive within the darkness. The light who does not hide what is wrong, but that makes what is wrong known. The light who does not erase all that is wrong, but who redeems what is wrong with the joy of God's persistent love. The light who shows us how to see the difference between darkness that does harm and darkness that reaffirms the beauty of our humanity, our humanness, and the darkness of evil versus the darkness of reacting to a world in which we do so much harm to one another. Today is a day to dispel all the darkness in this world. To this end, at the conclusion of this service, we will be gathering in front of the altar rail with candles that we will light to represent and celebrate the joy of Jesus Christ, our Savior, arriving and bringing light into this world while we sing Silent Night. Now we can get to the scripture portion. And we'll start by, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." You know this. You've multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. Everybody rejoices before you as with joy at the harvest. You've heard it all. It's on the decorations we buy at Walmart. It's on the cards that pour to us through the mail. Even the cards, the e-cards that sing a song and paint a picture have joy in them. Joy is, at heart, this celebration. It rings in our ears and trips from our lips. Joy. It brightens our countenance and lifts up our steps. It is undeniable and unavoidable joy. Except for those who it isn't. Undeniable and unavoidable. There are those who gather for worship this day who carry a hurt so deep that joy seems like an alien land. There are those who grieve so profoundly, perhaps silently and perhaps not, for whom joy seems like a slap in the face. It seems like overlooking or forgetting of the loved one missed. There are those who face an uncertain future, those who weep at injustices, those who aren't allowed to participate in the bounty of a wealthy nation. There are those for whom joy is a foreign language. It's unintelligible to their ears. And let's be honest, in time, we will all travel these barren, joyless lands. Joy seems such a fleeting thing, such an individual thing, such a temporary thing. We're all grown up enough to realize and recognize joy is fleeting at best. All of this begs the question, what is this joy of which we speak? Do we understand joy when we speak of it as powerful or temporary? Have we heard the angelic and prophetic message clearly in its entirety, well enough to fully grasp the transformative power of joy? Not only do we, but can we? Is this joy something so far beyond our human understanding that we can only attempt to comprehend it in part? Maybe, maybe not. But let's listen again and see what we might say about joy on this night. The angel spoke to the shepherds. We've all heard the stories of who the shepherds were in that culture. They might have been seen as outcasts, marginalized, or unclean. But they might also have been business people, people making a living, providing an essential service. Either way, the angelic presence implied that there was a divine inclusion of even those. The angel said, "I bring you news of great joy. I bring you, yes, you in your peculiarities, you in your grief, or in your contentment, or maybe even both. You in your brokenness and your wholeness, overlapping with overwhelming regularity in our lives. You who are the center of attention, and you who don't feel like you belong, even when that is the same person. I bring you great joy." The first gift of Christmas is not a proclamation from Santa at the North Pole, but from heaven itself. The first gift of Christmas is joy. I bring you great joy. And you aren't required to feel a certain way about it. You can, but you don't have to. The gift is given to you all the same. It is yours. This wrapped parcel under the tree, or in the stocking, or just handed over with a breathless grin. Joy. It's yours. But it's not yours alone. See, that's the thing about this gift. It does come with attachments. Batteries are included. The angel's announcement was, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Those are the words that are important, for all the people. Attached to this joy is something else, a world filled with unity, with peace, with justice, with equality and hospitality. Now, wow, that's a mouthful right there. Joy is felt, but also lived into. Joy is gifted, but it's also inspirational. The message tonight is Emmanuel, God, He is with us. And that truth, that reality, imparts joy even to those who haven't heard it yet. Joy is not our exclusive property. Acceptance is not our exclusive right. Justice is not just for people like us. And peace is not just that we are safe. The light is shining upon all, says the prophet. The world is brighter. We don't all see it right now, just as they didn't all see it then. Well, why? Because there are some who want to block the light, and they want to keep exclusive rights to the brightness. Some are so cast down that they can't see the brightening sky. The light has shone. Nonetheless, and people rejoice, and they will rejoice, and they can rejoice. And sometimes prophets, they write in multiple tenses. Maybe joy isn't an emotion or a feeling. Maybe joy isn't elation or happiness, but something much more profound. Maybe it's an act of faith. Maybe it's a prayer and a hope and an act of will. Maybe it is indeed that gift that we are given and around which we wrap our hands and our lives, both individually and corporately. It is a gift that we embrace with quiet acceptance and joyous proclamation. Emmanuel, God with us, is the great joy for all people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will now, if we could, let us now all gather up here around the rail at the altar. If you didn't get a candle coming in, we have a basket of them here. We're going to light a candle, and we're going to welcome Christ into the world, bring His light into the sanctuary, and sing Silent Night. Oh, I am very sorry. We have to do communion first. I sat here and looked down and missed a very, very important step. My goodness. Nancy and I were discussing before the service started that little blurb about having communion was sort of hard to see, and it looks like it was. Get them. Christ our Lord, invites to his table all who love him, all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. Not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the great news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good thing and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread. Gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and in thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Come on. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all our honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll now come up. I got a Band-Aid on, so let me grab that. If you don't mind. Let us take a minute and pray. Okay, now that we're back in the right order, if you could, let us come on up to the altar rail. If you didn't grab a candle, we have some in the baskets. We'll light them and bring Christ's light into the world while we sing Silent Night, hymn number 239. And I'll bring some light down in a second. Thank you. Before I get to the benediction, I just want to say I wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas. May you have a very blessed one, a very happy one, and a very safe one. Be careful. Beloved, may you go in the blessing of Emmanuel, God with us, the joy of the world. And may you carry this gift of joy everywhere you go, working for peace, for unity, for justice and mercy for all the people. Amen.